So the epistle for Maundy Thursday, Holy Thursday, is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Brethren, when you come together into one place, it is not now to eat the Lord's Supper. For every one taketh before his own supper to eat, and one indeed is hungry and another is drunk. What, have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and put them to shame that have not? What shall I say to you? Do I praise you? In this I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread and giving thanks, broke it and said, Take ye and eat, this is my body, which shall be delivered for you. This do for the commemoration of me. In like manner also the chalice after he had supped, saying, This chalice is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you shall drink it for the commemoration of me. For as often as you shall eat this bread and drink this chalice, you shall show the death of the Lord until he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread or drink the chalice of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord. But let a man prove himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of the chalice. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh judgment to himself, not discerning the body of the Lord. Therefore are there many infirm and weak among you, and many sleep. But if you would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But whilst we are judged, we are chastised by the Lord, that we be not condemned with this world. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from John chapter 13. Before the festival day of the Pasch, Jesus, knowing that his hour was come, that he should pass out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And when supper was done, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hand, and that he came from God and goeth to God, he riseth from supper, and laying aside his garments, and having taken a towel, he girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the feet of the disciples and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. He cometh therefore to Simon Peter, and Peter said it to him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith to him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, then thou shalt have no part with me. Simon Peter saith to him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not but to wash his feet, but is clean wholly. And you are clean, but not all. For he knew who he was that would betray him, therefore he said, You are not all clean. Then after he had washed their feet and taken his garments, being set down again, he said to them, Know you what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If then I, being your Lord and Master, having washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that as I have done to you, so do you also. Please be seated. O terrible mystery of the suffering Jesus, in the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. The cenacle in the garden, O yes, my son, our whole priesthood is there. This comes from a letter from Father Berto to one of his spiritual sons who was just ordained. Father Berto was actually the theologian that the archbishop brought to the Second Vatican Council. And I received a copy of this letter from actually my spiritual director from the seminary. It was actually my first Holy Week 12 years ago. And this year, he had sent me some readings and meditations on Holy Week, and again, that letter appeared. And so from that, it explains, obviously it was written to a priest, one who just enters into the priesthood, his first Holy Week. And so Father Berto, being a good spiritual father, he writes his spiritual son, in trying to contemplate and to understand the mysteries that take place tonight. In a sense, as a remark, so terrible mystery of the suffering Jesus. And so it gives us something to meditate upon. It gives us something to think about because of the fact of what mysteries do take place tonight. I mean, one, we think about the institution of the Blessed Sacrament, this mystery that takes place at every Mass that we offer, but then also the mystery of the priesthood, a mystery because of the fact of the miracles, again, that the priest can perform. Whether it is forgiving of sins, whether it is calling down Almighty God from heaven upon the altar. But then it's something that for the priest to even to contemplate himself. Just this idea of all the glories were in the cenacle or the upper room, and then all the sufferings in the garden itself. And so it's for us to think about, for us to contemplate on this night, of how that these two things, contrary things, sufferings and then the glories, are both brought in for our meditation tonight. Yes, we celebrate the fact of Holy Thursday, this institution of these two great mysteries, these two great sacraments. And so that is why we have the Gloria, that is why we have the gold vestments. But yet, at the very end, then we will have the stripping of the altar. For us then to go and switch from the glories that are there, then to all of a sudden, the sufferings that our Lord would undergo. And so it's interesting to see how that it is for our meditation. And so Father Barreto encourages then his spiritual son. He says, let us not abandon our Master. Let us force him by our love to grant us some understanding of this double mystery, the mystery of the sufferings, the mystery of the glories. And it is because of then our love that we have for our Lord Jesus Christ. One, because a priest being an altar Christus, that we would try to gather in these true mysteries that are there, that are present for us. And so, yes, I mean, obviously for the priest, and this letter was written for him, it is much more of trying to gather that because of the life that he is expected to live. But I think for all of us, because of the two great miracles and mysteries that take place tonight, the institutions, that it is also for all of us to contemplate and to think about. And that's why I say, when we go downstairs and we think about our Lord, to thank God for the graces that he has given to us, for these sacred 3 days that we have, and through these sacred 3 days of being appreciative of not only of the things, the graces that God has given to us, but then also the sufferings of what he underwent for us. In a true sense, to redeem mankind. And so, yes, it is a great feast day for us all. And that is why then the spirit of the Eucharist, the spirit of the agony, are tied together tonight. The upper room and then also the Garden of Gethsemane. But the spirit of the priesthood penetrates to us tonight. Light and darkness, joy and sorrow, they are so strangely mixed for us. Mixed in order for us to contemplate, to go from one extreme to the next. And so not only is it asked for the priest then to, because of his love, to try to gain a greater understanding of this mystery, but I think for all of us to ask for that. Of maybe at the time that we spend in our adoration, to beseech God for that grace, to help us to understand more clearly this great mystery that is offered to us. And so that is where then we see the light of the kingdom of God versus the darkness of hell, and how Judas played into that. That here you have someone who was with our Lord for 3 years, and yet, we see in sacred scripture, it mentions of how the devil entered into him, gave him the idea to betray our Lord. And how through that, the devil entering into his soul, of how our Lord tells him, we see in the gospel accounts of that, go, do what you have to do and do it quickly. For him, yes, in a sense, it was the plan of God that our Lord would be betrayed by one of his friends, by ones that he gave so much to. And so, yes, we have the kingdom of God very clearly right there versus the darkness of hell. And how for Judas of receiving our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity, unworthily. And we see the punishment that is clearly marked out for us in the gospel account. That you mark your own judgment to that by receiving unworthily. And so, yes, these two kingdoms, in a sense, a failed kingdom of hell and the glorious kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they come together simultaneously in this night. There is so much for us to meditate upon and so much richness that is there. And so that is why Father Barreto tries to tell his spiritual son, meditate upon these mysteries, make them one with you. Because that is the only way that you will truly live your priesthood. If you understand the mysteries that take place tonight. And so that is why then the way of life and the way of death converge. Judas shows the dead soul of losing the state of grace. The other apostles, yes, the life of Christ in their soul. And so that is nothing foreign to us. It is something that we meet throughout our lives, whether it's the joy and sorrow, whether it's the light and darkness, or whether then, yes, the state of grace versus mortal sin. It is something familiar with us. It is something that, yes, we fall into. But then God forbid that we receive our Lord unworthily. And so that is why for us we have so much to meditate upon and be thankful for. That is why it's so important for us then to pray for the priest. Pray for them to truly understand and to penetrate into this mystery, so therefore that they can live that. And by them living that, they will give that then to the faithful. And that is the importance in the institution of the priesthood itself. Because the priest is the weak instrument of Almighty God in giving the sacraments to the faithful to help them to stay in the state of grace. Or if they lose that state of grace, to be able to forgive their sins, that they come back to life and not be dead like Judas. So yes, there is so much for us. And I would say in the midst of our snares and temptations that are around us, that abound around us every day, we must be eager then to live this communion with God's grace, and in a sense, in the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. He shows to us he is the way, the life, and the resurrection. He is the means, the vehicle for us to live our lives, not just for the priest, but for every single one of us. And so therefore, it is truly important for us to try to penetrate into these mysteries that we find in this Mass tonight. So finally, I will leave you with some more words of Father Barreto to his son, his spiritual son. He said, pray that our hearts become like the heart of Jesus, instruments and organs of the divine love that should inflame us always. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.